dear friends, welcome to the Mindful Maya podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to understanding the phenomenon of the mind and be free from its conditions. The series features various talk shows given by the mystic Maya around the world in what he calls the conversation from the silence to the silence.
Maya, in the journey of self-realization, there comes many distractions, and primarily the distraction is the mind's attempt to not become silent, because out of compassion the mind never wants to become silent. And this compassion is for the life as such, is for the existence as such, and is for the continuation of the existence as such. Yet if the call for understanding the self is very strong, the mind indeed becomes a friend and helps. It helps you understand the self. Actually, it helps you understand itself. The mind will help you understand the mind itself. And this starts firstly by separating the mind from you as an experiencer. In other words, you will be witnessing whatever happens in the mind. In most cases in our everyday life, the thoughts appear in mind. And of course, we can use the mind to create thoughts or think over the thoughts. And it is just like breathing, where we can breathe by our own will. However, if we are not breathing by our own will, the involuntary function of the body steps in and the breathing is done for us. And it is exactly like that, the mind. If we use the mind, we can use it for various purposes. If we don't use the mind keeps on running. The mind keeps on using itself, let's say. And it is the nature of the mind to do so. And yet there comes stages in the journey to know the self that no matter what we see or what we experience, we still understand somehow that we are not that what we are seeing, and we are indeed not the experience either. We can see the experience is happening to us, and we can see the incidents happening around us, and that we are merely watching. And due to the fact that there is a long habit of the mind to associate itself with us, with you as an experiencer, and this habit tells you that whatever is happening to you. This particular habit stays on for a long period of time because of the deep inner programming that has been there with you since many, many years and since many, many lives. But it does not really matter if you do not believe in different lives and reincarnations, you can still see the habit has been there for many, many years. And due to this habit, there arises a situation where we want to become free of the mental activities, or we can even say that we want to become silent. But due to this association with the mind, we cannot see the silence. We can see the movement of the mind. And this does not stop. It does not stop at all. The movements of the mind does not stop at all until the very last moment of you, your experience, and the experience of not being associated with the mind. And the mind as such will do anything to prevent you from detaching yourself with it, with the mind. And this process is deep-rooted phenomena, a very necessary phenomena for the life as such. But if you as an individual decide to go in and understand or learn the inner depths of your own personal life and in reality and of the reality in general, this mind becomes an obstacle, like a wall between you and what you want to achieve. And then whatever desires you have had before your journey, before your spiritual journey, before your meditational journey, whatever desires you have had before, slowly they start dropping. The desires will stop becoming desires, but not all of them. The degree of certain desire stops dropping, and when it reaches, let's say, the final stages of dropping these desires, the mind will project all of these desires very strongly in front of you. So strongly that these desires will take on forms of different symbols. It may appear as a human being, it may appear as wealth, it may appear as different pleasures that you can still achieve in this life. It appears in front of you very, very strongly. And in many cases, we humans have a tendency to fall for this and follow the desires. Not only the desires, the mind will present you with what they call siddhis or powers, and the power to attain or accomplish anything that you'd like. There have been stories of siddhis that you could use to manipulate time and space and physical properties, but that is also the nature of the mind to keep you still intact with the mind. The mind will bring so many different experiences and try to keep you from understanding your true inner self. And this has been understood as Mara in Buddha's enlightenment. The gods of wealth coming in and bringing abundance of wealth that he could enjoy. The gods of beauty coming in and bringing beautiful men and women at his service. The gods of war bringing in unlimited power to reign over the land. These are all symbols. And if we understand the function of human brain, firstly, we grow up with the left side of brain, and this left side of the brain is calculative. It thinks in terms of yes and no, and is very hardly directional. What it means is that if you wanted something to be done, you would not think so many things around and just have that thing done. It would look around, it would calculate its positions and plan accordingly until you get it done. And they say that the right brain is where the calculations are not there. It sees of the actual reality and perceives it in symbols, poetry, music, in creativity. So we can say that the left side understands mathematics, calculations, law, administration, and the right side understands of compassion, art, creativity, and so on. And during the meditation, the left side starts to disintegrate, because the more we are in the position of accepting everything around us, because that is what meditation does to us. And the very last remaining soul, the very last remaining life of this left brain energy will push whatever there is left in such an intensity that it does affect the right brain as well, and in turn converts every desire that you had before into symbols of all the desires that you had, and presents it as objects, as people, and it may also present itself as the archetypal images that you have learned all your life. And not only that, it also presents itself as the very God you worship. So you may see an image of Buddha, very beautiful, filled with color and light. Or if you come from a Christian background, you may see the image of Jesus, equally beautiful, radiant, filled with light and love. And likewise, it only depends in what kind of cultural background you have grown up into. And yet Buddha said, if you see me in your meditation, kill me. Because that also becomes a hindrance, and that also is the projection of the mind, and hence is yet another Mara. Because the mind is a very, very intelligent function of life that we have inherited. And normally it lets us do whatever we feel like doing with our life, because there is no danger for the mind in the way, in a very general way, we live our life these days. The mind finds no danger to it. Even if we are suffering from anxiety and depression, the mind does not find it so much dangerous. Of course, it feels the pain, but it is not as dangerous as the mind being turned into a no-mind state. And the more we meditate, we can understand all these different functions of our own mind. So the mind, it does not want to disappear or evaporate. The state of nirvana, blowing out of the candle, is simply blowing out of the mind. And the mind does not want that. So it has done everything in its power to keep itself alive. And a very basic example you may see is when you sit in meditation, given that your body is not tired, and the mind, of course, is not tired, then you will not fall asleep. Otherwise, you would fall asleep, of course. So given in the meditation that you are not tired, and you watch whatever happens in the mind, with your eyes closed and you seated in a room or somewhere, and you start watching the mind. And slowly you will start seeing that first you are aware there are thoughts moving here and there. And slowly you will still be aware that the thoughts are in the distant. Occasionally you may catch one or two thoughts, but they keep on being in the distant. And there will be a state where you are aware that there is a movement, not necessarily aware of what thought, but still aware of the movement. And it may sound like a flowing river, a flood, or a heavy rain, something happening in the distant. And the next state that would occur or happen is suddenly everything is gone. And this happens suddenly, because by the time this happens, the activity in the mind is very far, because it takes for us thoughts to understand what happened. Whenever something happens to us, the thoughts comes in, and we look into that thought and we understand it. In a way, the mind can project a thought into a holographic space and observe it, perceive it from time and space vantage point, and then decide in a binary system of yes or no, and bring that decision back to itself. But this phenomena is not present anymore. And when that happens, the mind quickly restarts, because this word restart seems applicable here in absence of any other convincing word. So let's say the mind quickly restarts and brings us back again to the surface with the thoughts. Then we realize something had happened, but we don't know what that something was. We have a distant glimpse of a silent space, or nothingness, or void. And again we come back. And this keeps on happening. Not only in the meditation, this keeps on happening in the night as well. When we go to sleep, we first enter into the sleep, and slowly we are gone, we enter into this nothingness. Then the mind restarts, then we come up in this level to more of a thought state, more of a state where there are many thoughts. And since we are sleeping and there is no need to wake up, or when we are tired, this becomes the state of dreams. The mind will keep us in the state of dreams, and again slowly it enters back into this nothingness, this void. Then again it restarts, and then we come back to the state of dreams, what they call REM sleep and non-REM sleep. We keep on cycling to and from these states. Then we wake up in the morning, and the very last dream that we remember is because of our closeness with that stream of thought. And soon we forget that as well. So in this sense, dreams are even maras. Mind has a very, very powerful intelligence at work, which allows itself to continue and restart. If the continuation is not possible, it restarts and keeps on continuing. This is what happens in the meditation, and it can present anything in front of us to not let itself blow away or go silent. And you, as a meditation practitioner, will slowly understand that this is indeed the phenomena of the mind, that this is how the mind works. And when you start to understand that, the effect of the mind on you starts becoming powerless. The mind cannot do anything. Just like the Maharas couldn't do anything to Buddha, or just like Satan couldn't do anything to Jesus, it will happen the same way to you. But you will understand that the existence as such, as we know, needs mind to understand itself, and therefore the mind is present. But you, with enough meditation practice, will have a vantage point where you can see through the mind this existence, and also see without the mind this existence. And through the mind, whatever we see in the existence is Mara. And without the mind, whatever we see in the existence is the experience of being one with the existence, or you becoming yourself the existence, the entirety in itself. And this is Tantra.
Dear friends, we want to publish these life-changing conversations as a book, and for that, we need your help. Please leave your thoughts on our Facebook page, Maya Satsang, and also share this podcast with your friends. Every thought is valuable, and every share counts.